Welcome to the Floor Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday, the 22nd of September, recording at 9:15 p.m., and it's still British summertime. Okay, let's have a quick look at the highlights here today. And it was pretty much a bloodbath all around, unless one was long bonds and the yen. Now, Asian stock markets were hammered, and that's not an exaggeration, because this time it included the ASEAN sector, which had been such a relative strength holdout, and Indonesia, for instance. I think it fell about 8% in here today. The European stock markets were all clobbered, declines mostly in excess of 4%, and the CAC and DAC, CAC just over 5%, and the DAX just underneath it. The Americas, we had a big sell-off, another big sell-off on Wall Street, although it pegged back the losses a little bit towards the close, but the declines are all 3.25% or more. Well, the S&P is 3.19% to the downside. Similar move in Canada. Mexico and Brazil were bigger declines in the 4.8% category. Long-dated government bonds soared against this background, particularly the treasuries for the second day following the Operation Twist. More on that in a moment. The U.S. dollar was significantly firmer against, it must be against every currency except for the Japanese yen, and I see it's a little lower against the yen at 76.32, but there were some hefty gains here. It was the commodity currencies that saw some of the biggest moves. For instance, the Aussie's down to 97.57, and the Canadian dollars quoted the other way around, but that's back up the greenbacks back up above parity at 102.65 against the Canadian. Alan's done a big review of these currencies. Incidentally, he's done a very extensive review, which chart review, which I think you'll want to have a look at in comment of the day. Now, precious metals certainly we're not immune to the contagion selling in here today. And excuse me, gold is currently at 1738 and change. That's down 44. It has been $16 lower. Got down to 1722. Silver was hit very hard, currently at 3597. That's down nearly 4.5. We see palladium finally broke that support near 700 in a big way, and it's currently at 649, down 63.5. Platinum fell, it's down $96, 16 brings it back to 1691. The industrial metals were all hit, all the soft commodities, all the agricultural commodities were down as well. It's one of those rare days when every single commodity was on the downside. So you can sum it up in two words, capitulation selling in here. Now, I chose it was planned many, many months in advance, but I chose a poor time to be away last night and this morning with the Operation Twist announcement, because when I left yesterday, Wall Street was still mildly to the plus side and then got clobbered after the Bernanke or the Fed, after the Bernanke statement. And there were several factors that contributed to this, of course, just review them very, very quickly. The first one, which I'd been mentioning in the audios, is that the stock market last week was discounting something favorable. Now, the Operation Twist was also being discussed, but not in isolation. People were looking optimistically for something more, and they certainly didn't get it. Now, what I think also spooked markets was that Bernanke came out and said, this is an exact quote, significant downside risks to the economic outlook. And that did surprise people. It may be true, may not be true, although I think most economists that I see interviewed or read about do not feel it's a significant downside, but we know that the US economy has been just on the edge of recession for really quite some time. And my own feeling that this Operation Twist really did little other than besmirch the good name of Chubby Checker. As a matter of fact, it's probably made things worse in economic terms because of the stock market pounding down and concerns about that significant risk to the downside. Now, that isn't going to encourage one single well-heeled corporate multinational to spend any of their significant reserves. It'll probably encourage them to hoard even greater reserves. And they're not going to hire anybody. They're not going to build factories against that background, particularly when there's all the talk about tax increases and regulation going on, and so much of a struggle between the White House and the Democrats and the Republicans in the Congress. So I don't think this has helped at all. Rather the opposite. And my guess is, should a Republican somehow gain the White House in 2012, my guess is that Bernanke would not last very long, but that's conjecture on my part. So let's get back to the markets here. The silver lining in all this is that, in economic terms, is that commodities took a beating in here today. Now, did I mention crude? It was down $5.50, and that takes WTI down to 80 and change. And it takes Brent down to 105 and change. Now, those are not cheap levels for crude oil, but they're a lot lower than they were. And it's pretty significantly kiboshed the possibility of another spike to the upside anytime soon. That certainly does not seem to be a possibility. And we could easily get some additional weakness in here right now. And I've often mentioned, as is Owen, particularly in these audios, that what we really needed to see in this era of a commodity secular bull market was that we needed to see some downturns in line with the business cycle, and those don't occur by chance. There's this symbiotic relationship between the economies and the commodity markets. And when commodity prices are low and beginning to move upwards, they become one of the best games in town, as we've often described them. And they rise, their strength is evidence of an improving global economy. But as veteran subscribers will also have heard me say on many occasions, that commodities is the best game in town also means that they're going to become the next big problem. We saw that in 2008, in the first half of 2008, and we saw that in the early part of this year, with commodities soaring higher, particularly crude oil, which is the most important commodity of all. And when you get spikes in crude oil and staple foods, that is a recipe for a recession, whether it's an outright recession or a growth recession, as we saw in 2008 and as we're seeing again. As you know, the banking crisis and the collapse of Lehman Brothers in 2008. That is what people most remember. And you also know that this year, and particularly in recent months, that the European sovereign debt crisis has really been the focal point of global fears. But Owen and I have been saying for months that that spike in commodity prices, and particularly the crude oil spike, was certainly going to cause problems, could only slow growth. And it's a bigger problem, just as it was in 2008, for instance, for the growth economies of Asia, than the European sovereign debt crisis, I would argue, or than the collapse of Lehman Brothers in 2008. So to get back to the silver lining here, we stand to see a reset in terms of commodity prices at a lower level. How much lower remains to be seen, but that will be influenced by what actually happens in stock markets, and that will be influenced by what investors are discounting in terms of an economic downturn. Now, despite a couple of terrifying days in here, and they haven't been entirely in isolation. Last month was pretty grim to the downside. I don't think this is 2008 by any means. I know George Soros has said that it could possibly be even worse if the year were to break up and if nothing were to happen in terms of resolving that situation rather than just shuffling deck chairs. Well, I'm optimistic, and I think he probably is as well. I believe he is that Europe will get to grips with this, and hopefully sooner rather than later. The problem, the debt problem, will linger for a very long time, just as the U.S. problems will linger for a very long time. But what I would like to see, and I've often mentioned this before, is for those commodity prices to come down sufficiently for China and India to start reversing their policy of monetary tightening. And they're certainly not going to do that unless they clearly feel that the peak in commodity, mostly commodity caused inflation pressures, has not only passed its nadir, but is but the down a downward trend is clearly in evidence. And so we could get that shift fairly soon. I hope we do, because I think it's important in economic terms, because without that, where's the growth engine going to come from? It's not going to be the US economy, although it's a relative outperformer in stock market terms, and it's in better shape than Europe in most respects. The growth leadership obviously isn't going to come from Europe. It's not going to come from commodity producers while those markets are in retreat. So we're back to the China and India led growth. And China certainly has the cash to fund a big stimulus should they wish to, without creating any central government debt in the process. China is not without its own debt problems. Some of those are related to property speculation, but it's mostly local governments, quite a bit of local government debt there. But overall, it's China Inc., I think, has an enviable balance sheet. And what we must not lose sight of in this environment when fear has run so high in the market, that the best balance sheets of all are among those successful multinational companies that we at Fuller Money like so much. Okay, well, where do we go from here? I don't know what the catalyst is going to be to check this slide. It can check itself if it burns out, and when you get declines like this today, Is climactic selling, and that's a short term development. Trends accelerate down, and then they get at least a good decent bounce. Presumably, any catalyst is less likely to come from the Fed right now. So I'm looking to Asia for that prospect, and hopefully that comes sooner rather than later. Meanwhile, valuations continue to improve, not fast enough or not significantly enough in some of the things that I most like. And I'm thinking of high-yielding companies that are leveraged to global GDP growth. And you know what those are because they've been discussed on so many occasions here in recent months. But the valuations are improving. Well, a day like today is certainly frightening. One doesn't want to become more bearish of the global economy, more bearish of the overall outlook with each downward twist in stock markets, because each downward twist in stock markets inevitably brings us closer to the eventual bottom. We're not there yet. I haven't bought any shares, and commodities that I bought have proved expensive. So this is still a tricky environment in here right now. What about precious metals? Well, again, I think subscribers are well briefed on the story. Gold overextended, due for some additional mean reversion. That's precisely what we're getting. There is, as I've mentioned before, the risk of contagion, as we saw today. It wasn't a big sell-off in gold by any means, but you know, when people are losing money and getting margin calls, particularly if they're getting margin calls, there's always the possibility and probability even that they're going to sell some of the things that they hold that are doing actually better to nail down the profit and to free up some additional cash. So we could see a little more of that, although I certainly don't think there's anything taking place that will change the secular bull market for gold and other precious metals. And I don't think there's anything taking place that will change the secular bull market, and certainly for industrial commodities. I'd love to see the secular bull market in agricultural commodities broken, but I don't think that's going to happen. They'll be incredibly volatile from time to time, and hopefully we get good crop cycles more often than not. That's mainly in the hands of the weather gods. But as you know from a lot of those long-term agricultural commodity charts, that on an inflation-adjusted basis, most of them have completed these huge type 3 bases. So we just don't think we're going to get back to commodity price levels that we saw near the turn of the century. And we maintain that this is a very much a secular bull market. So commodities come lower, stock markets come lower, that creates a reset and recovery prospects. And it won't come soon enough, as far as I'm concerned. Meanwhile, all the best to all of you.